Okay, if council are ready, we'll call the case, which is case number 62528, Villa Palms Court 102 Trust versus William L. Riley et al. Respondents. We have Mr. Infuso representing the appellant, Ms. Schuler-Hines representing the respondents. I also see other counselor. Mr. Joe, are you involved in the case to argue? Or I understand. Okay. Very well. Thank you. Okay, we'll go ahead and proceed. Mr. Infuso, would you wish to reserve any time for rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor. 4 minutes, please.
You may proceed.
May it please the Court, Michael Infuso and Zachary Takis on behalf of Appellant Villa Palms. This is an appeal from the District Court's denial of our application for preliminary injunction. The action arises out of a quiet title action Villa Palms filed after it purchased property in an HOA foreclosure sale conducted pursuant to NRS Chapter 116. Simultaneously with the filing of the complaint, Villa Palms sought a preliminary injunction to stop Deutsche Bank from foreclosing on the subject property. The District Court did determine that the HOA foreclosed on a super priority lien, but it determined as a matter of law that the foreclosure of that super priority lien did not impact or extinguish Deutsche's first deed of trust. Since the District Court's determination was based upon the interpretation of Chapter 116, it's a question of law that should be reviewed de novo. The issues before the Court are really twofold. Does an HOA have a lien for assessments that has priority over first deeds of trust? And if so, how does it have to be enforced? Now, before we get to the language of the statute, I want to put this issue in context. HOAs serve a very important function. They provide public services. They maintain roads, parks, recreational facilities, landscaping. This maintains the property values, and those expenses are passed through to the homeowners. In the state of Nevada, there's about 3,000 HOAs, of which there's 5,000 units in those HOAs. So roughly, approximately, half of Nevadans live in HOAs. Now, Deutsche would like to characterize this issue and focus in on the third-party purchasers. But that's not what's at issue here. The third-party purchasers don't get involved until the application of the law and the issues that are at hand in this case. They just show up and bid on the property. That's it. What is really at hand, this is an issue between Nevada homeowners and banks. It's if HOAs don't have a guaranteed method of collecting their lifeblood, the assessments, the HOAs are going to either have to stop providing those public services, which will result in the depreciation of home values, or the homeowners will have to pay even more.
I think, Mr. Infuso, I know the oral arguments in this case and next case, I know that we have two main issues. I know in the interest of time we really want to focus on, because we probably have 100 cases pending in the Supreme Court on these.
I just wanted to put it in context. Let's turn to the plain language of the statute. The question is, does it have a real lien? The starting place is Chapter 116, Section 116.3116. And this reads, the association has a lien on a unit for, among other things, assessments levied against the unit. The term lien is used 28 times in 116.3116. Overlay that with NRS 116.1108, which specifically provides that the principles of law and equity, including the law of real property, supplement the provisions of Chapter 116. And lien means lien. As this court decided in Ham v. Arrow Creek Homeowners Association, it defined the term lien as a lien is a security device that binds a property to a debt. That's what a lien is. There's nothing in 116 or anywhere else that supports another conclusion. So the question is, what's the priority of this lien? And that's in subsection 2. We start, a lien under this section is prior to all other liens and encumbrances on a unit. That's the rule. It's prior to everything, except three. There's three exceptions. The one that's applicable is 2B, which provides first security interest on the unit recorded before the date on which the assessment sought to be enforced became delinquent. That's where the bank's analysis stops. But you got to go on to the flush language, which is really not an exception to the exception. It limits the 2B exception. And that provides that the lien is also prior to all security interests described in subparagraph B for security interests to the extent of maintenance and abatement costs and 9 months' worth of assessments immediately preceding the institution of an action. Prior to, there's only one definition before, priority. It has priority over first security interests. And this makes perfect sense.
Is it limited to 9 months, though, as far as the, assuming we agree with you that it has priority over the first trust deed, is it limited to 9 months?
It is priority. Limited to 9 months.
Okay.
Has to be. That's the equitable balance that was struck in the Uniform Act that Nevada adopted. It's limited to 9 months. But it doesn't matter if the HOA forecloses on it and it's a true priority lien, it still wipes out junior interests, including first security interests.
Okay, well, let me jump to this issue, too, because I think you just did it. Now, I think the most critical issue today is the definition of the word action, i.e., can you have a private foreclosure on a homeowners association lien, or is a judicial foreclosure required, which I might add might implicate a right of redemption for 1 year under the judicial foreclosure statute. So what's your thoughts on that?
Well, again, we start with the basic principle, NRS 116.114, which provides that remedies provided in this chapter must be liberally construed. The argument that you must file a lawsuit derives from one word, and one word only, and that's action. But to put that word in context, you've got to look at the organization.
Well, it's more than one word. It is institution of an action to enforce the lien. Institution of action to me signifies judicial action, theoretically.
And I understand, Your Honor, and I'll get to that a little bit more. What if we focus in on the word institution of an action, because you could say institution
one
of
phrase. You can do a phrase, but I think you have to take institution and action together.
Sure. And I understand. Because you could also say institution of proceedings. That wouldn't mean a lawsuit necessarily. So I think the phrase institution of an action, really the key word in there is action. But I understand your point, Your Honor. But look at the organizational structure of 116. Subsection 1 in 116.3116 is the creation of the lien. Subsection 2 is the priority of the lien. And then NRS 116.3.311.62 through 31168 are the detailed enforcement provisions of how to enforce this. They're so detailed it talks about font size. Nowhere in those provisions does it make any reference to judicial action.
Well, let me ask you this, Counsel, though. In private foreclosures for association liens, generally we're thinking of private foreclosures for deeds of trust, and with those you give notice to everybody that's filed requests for special notice or maybe has exception to marketable title, so people know before the trustee's sale is held, at least 111 days it takes under the deed of trust to hold the foreclosure. Here, how do we know that all the people have an interest in the property? That is, it could be banks, maybe somebody with a list pendants, maybe somebody with a tax lien. I mean, there's all sorts of issues here. Have proper notice that their interest is going to be eliminated through the priority of the homeowners association lien. How can we assure fairness in that area?
Well, we ensure fairness by striking this equitable balance, that limiting the priority to only 9 months. But the issue is, well, how can a wipeout occur if they didn't get notice, is what I understand your question to be.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they get notice. NRS 116.31168, subsection 1, states that the provisions of NRS 107.090 apply to the foreclosure of the association's lien as if a deed of trust were being foreclosed. 107.090 in turn requires notices to subordinate lien holders. That's the first layer of protection of secured parties that hold junior liens. The second layer is that anybody that has an interest in the property, secured interest in the property, must notify the association of its interest. It's obligated to do so. And in turn, that imposes an obligation upon the HOA to notify that party.
Well, when the private foreclosure is done by the HOA, who, what entity gives the notice to all the people that have an exception to marketable title? How's that done?
Practically speaking, Your Honor, no discovery was conducted in this case, so we did not get to that issue because this was in the infancy. But practically speaking, the HOA hires a collection company that obtains a title report and will serve all those parties that have a recorded interest in
the property. So it's not done by a title company. It's done by a collection company?
The title company is not the one, as I understand it, the title company is not the one that serves the notice, although a title company is involved because typically these collection companies obtain a title report.
But they don't admit it. Title companies are used to doing foreclosures, and they do them on deeds of trust. I'm just wondering, do these collection companies follow proper procedures here to make sure notice is given to anybody that has an interest in the property?
Yes. And there's no claim in this case that they didn't receive proper notice. And I've handled hundreds of these cases. And they always, because you have to serve it certified mail. There's always, you know, certified receipt. They go through this process. They're in the business of doing it like title companies. So there could be exceptions, just like a title company. But I don't think that there's any sort of intentional not sending notices or anything of that nature.
Well, the reason I ask is we've received dozens and dozens of writ requests for many times lenders which say that they never got notice of the private foreclosure action and the foreclosure's been held and they're left holding the bag, and they didn't know that they had to come in and redeem this property before it was too late. So it kind of puts us on notice that maybe this is a problem here.
But if it is a problem, it needs to be addressed on a case-by-case basis, not an interpretation that doesn't enforce the language and intent of Chapter 116.
So your argument, counsel, is notice is furnished in two ways. Under the requirements of 107090, notice is provided within 10 days of the notice of default to the recorded lien interest. And secondly, if a 30-day notice has been given under 1163, 1163, you'll also give notice under that statute.
That's correct. And there's a third layer. The secured party can specifically request notice. Now, whether you deem that to be an actual written request or the fact using the recording statutes, Chapter 111 is constructing parts constructive notice to all parties of its existence. The fact is a lender, a secured party, can take efforts to ensure it receives notice by specifically requesting it.
Does the record in this case show that the notices in any of those three forms were given to the lender in this case?
As I indicated, no discovery had been conducted. We filed an application for preliminary injunction at the very beginning of the lawsuit, the day we filed the lawsuit. In opposition to the application, the lender did not contend in any way that it didn't receive notice. And nor does it contend that it didn't receive notice on this appeal. It does make some general references that, well, they may not get notice, but they never come out and say, we didn't get it.
So there's no claim of deficient notice in this case, in the Villa Palms case?
Not as of right now.
Okay. And it wasn't raised in the district court?
It was not raised in the district court, Your Honor.
Okay. Nor was there any allegation made that there was a deficiency in notice because of due process?
That's correct. Okay. I'd like to turn back to action. There's institution of an action. The term action is used about 100 times in Chapter 116, clearly in contexts where it doesn't mean a lawsuit. There's also many examples in Chapter 116 where it clearly does require a lawsuit, such terms as litigation in 116.2119. In 116.21175, it references may file a petition with the district court. In 116.2124, there's reference to commence an action in the district court. None of those qualifiers are in NRS 116.31162. Looking at the other provisions in Chapter 116 support this conclusion that no lawsuit's required. Chapter provision 116.31168. It says to foreclose on an HOA lien as if you're foreclosing on a deed of trust. A deed of trust, as we all know, can be foreclosed non-judicially. And so, too, can an HOA lien. Another important example is in NRS 116.3116, subsection 6.
Let's discuss that point just a moment. Is it incorporating the provisions for the foreclosure of a deed of trust only as to 17090, or does that mean that all other procedural requirements for the foreclosure, non-judicial foreclosure under a deed of trust, must also be satisfied, which would include other notices before sale, as an example, would also include other special time periods that are incorporated? Did it incorporate the deed of trust foreclosure statutes, which would set forth a whole separate series of procedural obligations that aren't embodied explicitly in 116?
It's incorporating the notice provisions to ensure that subordinate interest holders receive notice. That's it.
Which ones? All of them in 107? Only those in 107090?
Those, the ones that specifically say, there's several. Ones that say that the notice must be provided to subordinate interest holders, and that's it. And that, because there's specific provisions in Chapter 116 that address notice in other contexts, the prior homeowners and others. So it's only with respect to making sure, as 107 does, to ensure that subordinate interest holders have an opportunity.
Let's test this theory. Under 116.31168, the language says the provisions, not the notices, the provisions of 107090 apply to the foreclosure of an association's lien as if a deed of trust were being foreclosed. I'm just trying to figure out how much of the deed of trust foreclosure process is incorporated into that language and that provision. And you say it should be limited only to the notice expected or called for in 107.0903.
Well, let me clarify. 107.090 offers, and I'm looking at subsection 3, that talks about who gets notice and subordinate interest holders. There's also notice provisions of anyone who could make a request and receive notice, which is also in Chapter 116. Chapter 116 largely mirrors the notice provisions in 107, with the exception of incorporating in 107.090 to make sure that subordinate interest holders receive it. So by referencing provisions of 107.090, the intent is to incorporate 107.090 in its entirety to the extent to make sure that everyone who has an interest in the property gets notice.
Counsel, I know we asked a lot of questions, so I apologize for taking your time. We'll give you 3 additional minutes here in rebuttal, if you'd like, and then we'll add 3 minutes of time to the respondents. So,
thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Schiller-Hines, if you want to proceed on behalf of the respondents. And
thank you, Your Honor. Chief Justice, Justices, good afternoon. May it please the Court. Today we're here on what appears to be a very simple issue, whether the lower court committed an error or an abuse of its discretion when it refused to issue a preliminary injunction when there was no evidence before it that a super priority lien had ever been established. There was no evidence before the court that there was, in fact, a proper HOA sale where all notices were given, that there was a foreclosure of that lien properly. There was no evidence before the court that a super priority lien had ever been established to be foreclosed upon, and there was no evidence before the court that the super priority lien had ever in fact been created. The information before the court put forth by the appellants was a trustee's deed upon sale with some recital as to the fact that an assessment was foreclosed upon. There is no evidence in the record anywhere that that assessment that was foreclosed on was in fact a super priority lien.
Ms. Hines, did you make that objection down below? Because counsel is telling us that there was no objection as to notice.
Your Honor, we have a very sparse record on our side. I will be honest. There was not a lot of discussion because when we were before the court essentially said, I don't think that you can wipe out a first deed of trust, therefore go up to the Supreme Court. I'm not going to say that everything is perfectly on the record before it, but the fact of the matter is there's no evidence of a super priority lien.
There's my concern is what was on the record down below so that we can put this in the proper context.
The record below consisted of a declaration of the investor saying that he thought that what was foreclosed on included either 9 months of assessments or that it included expenses for the abatement of a nuisance, that therefore it was a super priority lien. There is no evidence that that was in fact the lien that was foreclosed upon. There's no evidence that there was a super priority lien ever created in this case, because in order to create a super priority lien, you have to first establish that one of the super priority lien conditions exists, that there was in fact a periodic budget for assessments created and that the lien includes those assessments. You have to establish whether it's 6 or 9 months of assessments based on whether it's a Fannie Mae or a Freddie Mac loan. You have to establish that if this is based on the abatement for the nuisance, that there was in fact a vacant property and there was a nuisance to be abated.
And were those arguments that you're now making made to the district court in opposition
to your
request?
No, I will be honest, they're not, because it wasn't available to make at that time. It was a very short brief. The judge found...
What arguments did you in fact make to the district court?
To the district court, we argued that there was in fact no notice of the super priority lien because they do not disclose it. And you cannot foreclose a lien and wipe out a property interest without providing notice of that. That notice never existed. There's no evidence that that notice of that super priority lien ever existed.
So based on the judge's decision, it appears as though it was fairly narrow. He made the assumption that a super priority lien, if she existed, could not extinguish a first security interest on the subject property.
That is
so
correct.
The issue on appeal is purely a legal question that responds to the point decided by the judge. So would you agree with that?
I think you can say that fairly, yes, Your Honor. But there's a legal question.
So your argument began, though, with the deficiency in the record, which is a deficiency that arises either by virtue of the way the judge proceeded or the way counsel proceeded, but the legal basis on which the preliminary injunction was rejected was the narrow question, does a super priority lien, if she exists, prevent the foreclosure of a first security interest?
And I would argue...
Why don't you argue that point?
I will argue that it does not, Your Honor.
Why not?
Because you have to have notice of the super priority lien to foreclose it in order to wipe it out. And there is nothing that provides that notice.
Well, so in essence, the record in this case is wholly deficient on knowing the answer to that question.
I would not dispute that, Your Honor. The record in this case is extremely sparse.
I don't even want to suggest what I'm about to suggest, but does that compel a remand of this case so that we know whether there was a notice or not given? Counsel said you didn't raise the fact that notice was deficient. You're arguing that they didn't present the fact that they gave notice, and yet the legal question that you tender and the judge relied upon relies on that in much, at least based on your most recent argument.
Your Honor, the question is can a super priority lien wipe out a first deed of trust? I would argue it cannot wipe out a first deed of trust because there is nothing in the statute that provides a mechanism for it to wipe out a first deed of trust.
I guess the other thing then is this record is deficient on how this foreclosure occurred. Do we even know from this record whether it was on the basis of a non-judicial foreclosure or a judicial foreclosure? We're talking about the record made to the district judge.
The record of the
not what you know.
The record made to the district judge consisted of a foreclosure deed upon sale. That is the entirety of the record.
May I ask you, though, where in your brief did you make the arguments you're now tendering? It seems to me you're stuck under Shook because you argued on the grounds that, as a matter of law, a non-judicial foreclosure of a homeowners association lien, A, is a payment priority, and B, in the non-judicial foreclosure setting, cannot extinguish your client's first deed of trust. I mean, that's what you engaged on. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Can you cite to me where in your brief on appeal you argued that there is a factual deficiency in this record as to notice?
I cannot, Your Honor.
So you're coming here and making an argument that not only wasn't made in the district court, it wasn't made in your briefs on appeal either.
Let me redirect the argument, Your Honor.
That would be a good idea.
Thank you. The lien has been treated as a payment priority since its inception. That is the history. That is the information that we have. When we have contacted HOAs, and this is argued in the record, and requested the super priority lien, we have been told we can't have it. That the super priority lien does not, in fact, exist until such time as the first deed of trust forecloses. The super priority lien doesn't exist until the first trust deed forecloses. If the super priority lien doesn't exist until the first trust deed forecloses, how are we wiped out by a super priority lien? We are also told that we cannot have the super priority lien because it is a violation of FDCPA to disclose the borrower's private HOA account information to a third party who is uninterested. The legislature cleared up that in the most recent legislation, providing a provision that specifically directs the HOA to provide a lien payoff to a mortgage holder when they request it, to the tune of $150. So the purchasers are coming in here and saying, oh, you're wiped out. But the fact of the matter is what's below us on the lower court is the fact that they won't tell us. The argument we made in the lower court is you cannot interpret this statute to say that you've wiped out a first deed of trust on an unknown, undisclosed amount. If you are going to wipe out a first deed of trust, the amount must be knowable. The amount must be disclosable.
Well, how did they, when this foreclosure process has started, the private foreclosure under Chapter 116, don't they notice you and say, we're seeking to foreclose for X amount of dollars that are in delinquent association fees, and notice is given it'll be sold at a certain date and time and location. Don't you get notice then, at least the amount and when it's going to take place?
Theoretically, there's no requirement under the statute that they provide notice. So if, for example, if an HOA is foreclosing a lien that is not an assessment lien, let's say it's nuisance violations or something else, not one of the super priority conditions, we are never subject to a 9-month super priority.
Have you considered the June 1, 2013 report of the Joint Editorial Board for the Uniform Real Property Act, which on the 6-month limited property lien, have you had a chance to look at that?
Extensively, Your Honor.
And could you comment on footnote 9 and the text accompanying it, which refers to two federal district court cases that say those cases interpreting Nevada's limited priority lien rejected the reasoning of Summerhill and concluded that the association's non-judicial foreclosure of its assessment lien did not extinguish the lien of the senior mortgage holder, But they're disagreeing with that. The official body that interprets the uniform law that became our Chapter 116 with some revisions seems to be saying that the way they meant the original uniform provision to be interpreted as that it fully applies to non-judicial foreclosures, A, it's a super priority in the true sense of the word, and B, as to the 9 months, an HOA can foreclose out non-judicially the senior deed of trust holder as to, in our case, it's 9 months, but in the Model Act, it's six. What do you make of that, just that it's wrong?
Well, I think that there's a couple things here. First of all, it's 6 or 9 months. It's dependent. You don't know that. You have no idea what that is. The other thing is they say it's wrong, but if you look at the examples that they provided, every one of those examples says there is notice and opportunity to pay that lien that was disregarded. That is huge.
Does that counsel then an interpretation that institute in action would really be fairer if you, in Nevada you did it in a judicial foreclosure action setting where you would have some judicial officer determine the amount and then you would have a one-year redemption similar to tax sales or other sales? I mean, I understand Mr. Infuso's point that these are performing services and it's unfair for one homeowner to have to subsidize everyone else. But governmentally, if you foreclose a tax lien, there's an opportunity of redemption and there's notice and it goes on and on.
I think that the requirement that it be a judicial foreclosure in order to establish the super priority lien and wipe out a first deed of trust is paramount. If in fact you look closely at this report, the report itself in every single example indicates that it is a judicial foreclosure that's going on. And in fact, if you look at the statute says that when there's a foreclosure under NRS 116.3116, you're entitled to attorney's fees as part of the judgment. You don't get attorney's fees as part of a judgment without a judicial action. That is a huge, huge issue. If you have to, in order to have a super priority lien, first figure out that one was established, then figure out the extent of it and provide notice. If you're going to wipe out in this case, this was a small one. This was a $56,000 deed of trust. The value of the property per the amicus brief was about $76,000. They purchased the property for one-tenth. You're wiping out my rights, subjecting the homeowner to a deficiency judgment, depriving them of the opportunity for foreclosure prevention alternatives, and you're creating what's worse, a race to foreclosure. And HOA has zero incentive to forestall its foreclosure proceedings and just take 9 months of assessments. If you follow the NRAD decision and it says you're only entitled to 9 months of assessments, $900. What about late fees? What about interest? What about the other charges and expenses that are tacked on to that lien that they're foreclosing? They want to get paid. I want to get paid in full. They want to get paid in full. What are they going to do? They're going to foreclose, because if they can foreclose the entirety of their lien to a third-party purchaser, they're going to get paid in full, as opposed to if they wait and let us just pay the super priority.
Can I ask you one other question, because you kind of went over this one quick, and maybe I don't quite follow it. You said that there's two different procedures followed on a foreclosure for association dues versus other items, I assume, like fines for leaving your trash can out, your dogs run loose,
right,
or things like that. That's you don't get notice on that? What did you say? If there's a foreclosure for this other type of, like a fine issue?
That's the important distinction, Your Honor, is that a super priority lien is limited. It's only 9 months of assessments based on the periodic budget.
Uh-huh.
It's also limited to the expenses for the abatement of a nuisance when the property is vacant and there's been an opportunity for the owner to cure that nuisance that they have failed to do so. Those are the two instances where you can create a super priority lien. Any other lien foreclosure by an HOA violations for leaving your car parked in front, violations for not cutting your grass. We see assessment liens that contain thousands and thousands.
What happens on those? Do they try and wipe out trust deeds for these types of foreclosures, for these fines, or what? I mean, what's going on with them?
If you've never established what part of the lien is super priority and what part is something else, how are you foreclosing? There's two liens at issue. There's the lien that consists solely of the super priority, and there's the lien that consists of everything that isn't.
So that doesn't wipe out the interests of the bank or others?
Correct.
Okay.
So if there's an HOA foreclosure and let's say the amount is $15,000 and $1,000 of that is assessments. Of those 1,000 in assessments, if 900 is the 9 months of common area expenses based on the budget, that's $900. The rest of it is not super priority. What that would presume is if there was a foreclosure of that, they would be foreclosing on $900 that's prior to the first deed of trust. Everything else is junior to us.
This discussion is helpful to gain an understanding of the overall problem that's presented in a number of the cases pending in the court, but I'd like to return to this case and this record.
Your Honor, in
this case and this record doesn't include hardly any of what we've been talking about. What it does say is a very narrow question. Does the foreclosure of a super priority lien extinguish the first security interest? And in response to that question, you argue, as I understand it, that it does not, and the reason that it does not is because?
Is because there's no notice and opportunity that there was not, in fact, the institution of an action through a judicial foreclosure is required by the statute.
How do we know that from this record?
You don't, Your Honor. I cannot dispute that. This is one of the very earliest cases briefed. The briefing was very incomplete. It was done on short notice. A lot of these arguments weren't developed. So when we did the briefing on this, we have a very small, limited record. I do not think it would be inappropriate for the court to remand it back for further findings.
Counsel, do you concede, though, do you agree with Mr. Infuso that this 9 months is a super priority lien? Let's put aside judicial foreclosure or private foreclosure. Is that a super priority, which is ahead of the first deed of trust?
Yes, as a payment priority.
No, a payment priority is distinct from a super priority lien. So you just answered his question.
With the question?
Yes.
Is it a true super priority lien?
Yes,
so that it could wipe out a first deed of trust?
Yes.
Assuming that the lien was validly established and notice and opportunity were given, yes.
Okay.
I would concede that if you sent me a notice and said, I am foreclosing on $900, that is 9 months of assessments based on the periodic budget. If you don't pay it, you're wiped out. Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Infuso.
Well, that just made it a lot easier. They just conceded that this is a true super priority lien if given notice.
Mr. Mancuso, before you get into that, let's go back to the question I started this world with, and that is, what was in the record down below?
Sure. And let me address that, because that was going to be where I was going to start off before that comment. There's a foreclosure deed in the record. It's at JA, page 8. This is the beginning of the foreclosure deed. And it provides in the foreclosure deed, which is authenticated, and it was attached to the complaint, the verified complaint, that it was a foreclosure of a notice of delinquent assessment lien pursuant to NRS 116. 0.31162, 0.31163, and 0.31164. In other words, this was a foreclosure.
And what kind of notice was given to the parties based upon that? Was that presented to the court, or do we have to assume it based upon the deed that was tendered?
I don't think we didn't present any evidence that they received notice.
So the only thing on the record is this deed?
No. As far as notice, the only thing that's in the record regarding notice is their failure to deny that they got it. They did not raise it. They had the opportunity in an opposition. They could have raised it. They didn't.
But you can't tell us that notice was given.
I cannot tell you that notice was given because this was a foreclosure in November of 2012. We filed a lawsuit in January 2013, and the preliminary injunction was heard just a couple weeks later. No discovery was conducted, and whether or not notice is given is not in possession of a third-party purchaser. That's information that's in possession of either the HOA or its foreclosing agent.
But so your argument would be that your title came to you by virtue of this foreclosure deed. And in the preliminary injunction hearing, there was no challenge to the validity of the deed.
That's correct. And we could take this one step further, too, Your Honor, is that in the foreclosure deed, it contains recitals that certain things were done, that notice was given. And those are conclusive under Chapter 116. So there's an issue of whether or not that they're conclusive. Can they be rebutted? Presumably not. But then you need to make an attempt to challenge the conclusiveness of those recitals.
But at this stage, you were just asking for an injunction.
At this stage, we were just asking.
So those assertions could have been challenged had it gone to a full hearing.
The assertions of notice?
Yes.
It most certainly, but it could also have been challenged at the time of the preliminary injunction hearing. There was certainly enough opportunity for them to present that evidence.
And your claim of error on appeal is the judge denied the preliminary injunction.
That's correct, based solely on his interpretation, though. And that's another thing I want to point out, is that the judge specifically determined in the order, which is at JA 194, the specific language is on JA 197, court holds that the Homeowners Association's foreclosure of its super priority lien under NRS Chapter 116 did not impact or extinguish the first security interest of the subject property. In other words, the court made a factual determination, not challenged on appeal, that it was a super priority lien that is composed of 9 months' worth of assessments.
And the lender had the opportunity to be heard before the preliminary injunction was denied, correct?
That is correct. They filed a written opposition to it.
And in that, they did not traverse that the deed that you all had was on its face regular?
Not in any way whatsoever, Your Honor.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Infuso. You might want to stick around for the next case. Maybe we'll get to Chapter 2. We'll see what the facts are here like that. Okay, and again, Justice Paragrave will participate in the decision of this case, and we will take it under submission. Thank you all.